FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stones.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop?
Ratchet, if you'll take the chorus stop.
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who fight in disguise!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to yet another edition of Transformers for your listening pleasure, TFYLP, episode number 171, recorded October 2nd, 2015. I am your host, Daron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Jim Black, a.k.a. Moroni Prime.
Hello.
And TFYLP co-founder Greg Metcalf, a.k.a. Insane Galvatron.
Hello.
Got kind of a small cast tonight. Rick Alvarez couldn't be with us tonight, and everybody else is kind of busy. It's getting one of those kinds of years, but hey, such as it is, we're not available for every single show. But that's such as live podcasting and everything. You know, we take weeks off. I mean, that's if you guys have been listening for the last how long have we had this new schedule? Like two months now.
Something like that.
Maybe 2 months, 2-3 months. We have crews that, you know, we have an alternating cast. And I'll host 1 week, and Cyburn 2 will host the next. That's to allow for people, time off and go do things with family, loved ones, and everything. Don't want to get burned out. Yeah. You know? And honestly, my work schedule has been crazy. And if we didn't have this alternating schedule, I'd be like, you know what? It's just one of those kind of deals. And in speaking of work schedules, I know I said earlier a few weeks ago that I would be able to attend TFCon USA. Unfortunately, my employer has other plans for me, and I am not allowed to attend because I have to work. So it sucks, boo hiss. I so wanted to go, but we are really, really shorthanded at work right now, and so I'm going to have to stay home and do the work thingy and get a paycheck, you know.
Wait, you get paid?
So, paychecks are good.
Yeah. Paychecks are good. Yeah, that's the great thing about all this overtime I've been pumping in is because the paychecks have been nice. I've been buying lots of good toys and but yeah.
And here I thought work was just a part of life. I didn't know you're supposed to get paid for it.
Dang. Yeah. Yeah,
I could buy so many more little plastic people with that money.
Yeah. Let's see here. Hold on a second. Hold on. Headmaster Don just messaged me.
Oh.
That's why he may be jumping in here. But anyway, without, you know, talking about a lot of other crap right now, this is a Transformers podcast, and we talk about plastic crack toys.
Transformers. Room full of them, yes. Behind me.
Yes. We are Transformer nerds, and we talk about Transformers. God, what is that thing?
It's a Generations Legends Class Optimus with Reflector, Spectra, or not Spectro, Hole Punch, Tracer, and Roller.
Is that like, that's got to be a fan mode, because that is the most atrocious thing I've
Everything
ever
seen. Everything is barely holding on.
Outside of Armada Sideswipe, that is the most atrocious thing I've ever seen.
I know. But it's actually able to stand up.
Yes. But tonight, we've got a great show. We've got a great show for you guys tonight. We're going to be talking. We got a listener question that is going to be the main focus of our episode tonight. We're going to be talking about double dipping on molds. What makes a great repaint, redeco, retool, and what causes us to actually buy those and what causes us to pass on them. A lot of people, if you've listened to the show for some time, we did talk about this way back about 2 years ago on episode 70, repaints, remolds, and reuses. Oh, my. Episode first aired on November 19th, 2013. It's on our YouTube channel and also available for download on tftalk.net. You can listen to it there. But we're going to talk a little bit more about that tonight. We have the listener question from MonsterBot. I'll read it here shortly, and we'll go into that. Also, tonight is the final clue in our Unite With Us giveaway. Listeners who have been listening to the show for the last 5 weeks have been getting clues that will lead to the eventual answer. And the first person to post on Twitter at TFYLP or post on our Facebook group, depending on what the timestamp is, preferably Twitter, because I believe that's faster, honestly, because it's like right here. And follow us at on Twitter at TFYLP so that we can get in contact with you if you are the winner. The first person to answer the question through with the clues correctly is the winner. The rules are on the tftalk.net website, so if you want a reminder of those, go there real quick and check it out. Keep this video open in a separate tab if you're on your desktop, because you don't want to miss any action. We may give the clue away in a couple minutes. It might be half hour down the road, but sometime during this episode, we'll give this last clue away, and you will have a chance to win a complete Combiner Wars Minasaur that includes Breakneck, Blackjack, and all the other great figures that are included with the...
Is Off-Road in there as well as Breakneck?
Off-Road is in there.
So all you get seven. Both so, gray vehicles with red windows.
Yes.
Yes.
You can have your choice of car or pickup.
Yes.
Seven subcons.
Or do it the way I do it. Off-Road is the de facto Shield Maiden for Minasaur. He carries all the little bits and pieces for the other guys that you don't want to tack on to Minasaur and make him look like he's just got weapons hanging all over, random weapons.
This may seem a little bit corny, but since there's so many Stunicons, what I was kind of doing, if nothing else, just for a place to put him. I don't know if you remember in Robots in Disguise 1.0 how the Combaticons, or Decepticons as they called them there, that formed Ruination always tagged around with Scourge just off to the side as their commander. And that's kind of what I was doing with with the Stunicons, is they would have the Minasaur Combiner, and then there's Off-Road telling them where to go and what to do.
So he's like the boss.
Kind of.
He's like the Scourge.
Pretty much.
Let's see here. We are also going to talk a little bit about the Transformers Devastation game for virtually every platform, I imagine. It's going to be out for the PC. It's going to be for the PlayStation 4. I'm getting it on the PlayStation 4. The Xbox One, I think PS3. All kinds of systems are getting this great game. We're going to take a brief look at it, and I'm hoping that the cast next week, since it will actually be released at that time, we will have a quick chance to actually play the game and talk about it on the show next week. So I'm sure Transformers Devastation will be discussed in a more well-rounded arena next week.
Well, considering I'm going to have to buy a whole new system to play it, Devastation also applies to my wallet.
A Wild Dawn draws near. Use Razor Leaf.
Yes. Hasbro used plastic crack. It's super effective.
Insane Galvatron uses Massey Attack. It's most effective.
No, I'm still recovering from Wednesday's Massey Attack. I have
drawn blood.
Well, I hate, but this is, if you can see the scratches.
Ouch. Here. Look, everybody. Don Ferguson's naked belly.
Sorry. But, I mean,
one of the many benefits of watching us on video.
Sorry, but I wanted to show you, because I did not realize until yesterday how bad he actually got me from Wednesday's attack. And on top of that, earlier in the week, he jumped up on the bed in the middle of the night. I guess he saw my foot moving under the covers or something. I have a scar from the top of my foot all the way down to one of my toes.
Well, what's bad? So,
is he like Park Tiger? Is he like Park Tiger or something?
Well, it's pouring rain here because of the hurricane. And he's been trying to go out all day. So I went out there and stood with him in the rain for about a minute. Like, this is rain. This is why we're not out. Thinking, this may work. Silly me, what was I thinking? I come in, he washes for 5 minutes, goes to the door and cries to go out.
Wow.
Well, what's really funny is showing his car, I thought I could see Massey in the background as if he was all like, yeah, I did that.
We should just be glad he spared us the full damage of the Massey attack. Don, in fact, no longer has legs.
Yes.
Well, Lieutenant Don, you had no legs.
But I do a damn good Ironside impression.
Well, viewers
older than 40.
We're gonna kick off the show here, but before we go,
on the agenda when you were
We'll get to that here.
I'll just let people know that it's coming.
Okay. A huge announcement from Master Shooter Collectibles.
Yes, later on in the show, I will be giving, because most people who've been to the conventions know I run the booth for Master Shooter. I run the booth. I will be showing. I'm there. It's usually me, the only one there, because the things are actually made in China. So, you know. But I will be revealing tonight the first TFCon Charlotte exclusive.
Well, we'll make sure that everybody knows so they can change the channel.
Before we do that, let's remind everybody that this show is brought to you by CapturePrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. CapturePrey.com, where you can save even more with the Capture Prey loyalty program, and also with orders of $150 or more, you can get free shipping. So check out CapturePrey.com. They are the sponsor of our Unite With Us giveaway. Again, we will be giving that clue later on in the show, so keep your fingers ready on the Twitter button or the Facebook button, whichever is handiest for you, for the answer. Hopefully you have the correct answer. And good luck to you, though, to those of you who are playing. Also, this show is brought to you by Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection by minimizing your costs with Mega Toy Fan. Mega Toy Fan can be found at the biggest toy conventions near you, as well as TFCon USA in Charlotte, coming up here in just a couple weeks. So check out Mega Toy Fan at the booths, and also online on Facebook. You can find him on there and find some great deals that way. Transformers Devastation. Let's talk about this just a little bit. It's a video game coming up. Generation 1 based, very clearly Generation 1 based. Let's talk a little bit about what we do know about it. G1 based, they've returned a lot of G1 voice actors. I know Dan Gilvezan, Peter Cullen, Frank Welker. Who else is
Greg Berger?
Greg Berger. Yeah, from Grimlock.
Starting for Grimlock.
Mm-hmm. Who is the original voice for Devastator?
Arthur Burkhart. I want to say I can look it up to verify to make sure I get the right name.
Hmm.
So I'll look it up and double check.
I'm curious as to whether or not
Arthur Burkhart.
Curious whether or not they got him as well.
I believe he's passed away though. I want to double check.
Oh, that would pose a problem. Yes,
possibly.
Let me see here.
Ouija board.
I may be wrong, but hang on. Let me look here. No. Let's see. Hang on.
He's still kicking.
Yeah, he is still
with us. June 23rd, 1945.
Yeah.
Awesome. So let's. Yeah. I hope he's in the game because he that voice for Devastator. You know, it's Devastator. And it's also it's the type of game. It's I guess it's a fighter, is it not? Or is it a story based fighter?
Yeah, so some kind of like third person, not third party.
Third party, yeah. We're gonna have city commanders.
That's the whole theme.
Feral Rex joins the fight.
I would pay money for that. Eyes.
Yeah,
it'll be not Transformers, Hercules Station.
Yeah. Feral Rex powers up into Nero Rex.
Well, hey, if there was a game and it had that awesome purple and silver and black repaint that they're going to have at TFCon.
That thing is so damn sexy. I don't care if it's not going to be worth money down the road. I want it because it's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But now, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he said. Yeah, I have friends. I pay them weekly. Yeah, I pay them very weekly. But he reminded me, it was almost like Gundam. If you're playing the Gundam games, it's like Gundam Battle Assault. Come on. This will not end well.
No.
We will miss you, Dawn. It's been nice knowing you.
So yes, if anyone's played the Gundam Battle Assault games, it's kind of like a arena-style melee game. I guess for the old schoolers, Roboton 2084 kind of that's what it reminds me of, but I'm going way old school on that.
Would it be way off base if I say that this game would be a lot like Smash Brothers, Super Smash Brothers?
Oh yeah, that's a somewhat more contemporary.
Basically, Super Button Smash Brothers.
No,
that's essentially what that game is.
Yeah. No.
But I guess
no.
I guess we'll find out more next week. There's some great video clips online for that kind of shows the graphics of the game. It looks amazing. I'll probably just play it just for the eye candy. But how many here are planning to get it? How many on the show are planning to get it?
Well, due to the fact that I'm on a limited budget, because I have to buy food and stuff.
No, you don't need to eat.
These things taste horrible. I need alternatives.
Who needs a place to live when you have toys?
Well, after I get out of the hospital, I I cannot play it on any system I currently own. I will probably see if I can play a demo somewhere. We have a couple of local GameStops. If they get a demo, just so I can, because I'm literally going to have to buy a system to play it if I want to. And I haven't touched any of my current video game systems in over a year and a half, 2 years. So, yeah, I don't know for me.
I'll have to get it on the PS3. That's the newest thing I have. Probably not.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I probably won't get it on launch, just because I still haven't even played Fall of Cybertron yet. I'm most of the way through War of Cybertron. I tried to pick it up and play again. I got stuck on the same level for about an hour and got frustrated. I'm not going to be in a hurry. I may wait for a price drop, because the games, if the game's been out for a while, they get cheaper. Or may pick it up.
It was Sentinel Prime, wasn't it?
No, it was actually the one where Ratchet is trying to heal Omega Supreme, and you've got to defend him. And what happened is Ratchet would go down, and then while I'm trying to revive him, I'm getting bombarded, and then I'm out.
I kept getting splattered by the ceiling in the Sentinel Prime level.
I actually had...
Wait, no, that was Fall of Cybertron. I don't know.
No, that was you're thinking of the right one. That's War of Cybertron. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, hey,
campaign.
Quick breaking news. I just noticed on the Twitter account, Sabertron.com just tweeted Masterpiece MP22 Ultra Magnus is getting a reissue. So if you missed out on it, here's your chance to get another one.
I can't deal with that now.
Yeah.
You can deal with him now.
Yes, but just as an addendum to that, you might want to wait until after New York Comic Con. Because there may be some announcements there on U.S. releases, potentially.
Hmm.
I don't know anything. I'm just saying, of all the masterpieces that are available, with next year being an anniversary of the movie, I can't see Magnus not getting a U.S. release in some fashion.
I would see Hot Rod getting released before Magnus would, because Magnus's parts count would make him extremely expensive. And that's not to say that they won't do it because they did MP10, but I just think that Hot Rod or one of the cars may be a little more cost effective more bang for your buck.
The only thing I'm looking at is like I was looking at the other figures, and I mentioned this before, is that if the Japanese retail of Magnus on reissue is around the same price as Soundwave when he came out. And if they can bring Soundwave over here and 5 cassettes, then it may be possible to bring Magnus over for around the same price.
Yeah.
It would be around the same price as MP10. He was like $120 originally.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's before the price started going up and up and up.
I think Magnus was
getting one. To quickly close the Transformers Devastation discussion, and before we get too far away from it, what's the exact release date on that? Does anybody have that handy? On October 6th?
Yeah.
Okay, so four more days. So look for Transformers Devastation at your local video game retailer, and I'm sure it'll be available online as well through like Steam.
That's what I was going to say, though, is being that I'm on such a limited budget, I'm going to have to get it on Steam. One thing I'm not sure of, though, and I've not really looked into it too much just yet, is I'm wondering that pre-order incentive they have with the Nemesis Prime, the Red Alert, and the Goldfire or Goldbug. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if that also applies for Steam, or if that's only a console-based incentive. And I'm not sure on that. Our viewers might happen to know if you post on the group.
Well, Jim, if you buy it on Steam, does that make it count as vaporware?
Perhaps.
Well, I thought
Transformers condensation.
I thought those exclusives for pre-orders were tend to be retailer based. At least they were on the other games.
That's what I was thinking too, but I wasn't sure.
But what I do know is every other exclusive where you get this character unlocked for multiplayer or whatever when you pre-order here ends up at some point down the road, usually not too far, that same character ends up being available for people who bought the game elsewhere. You just have to either pay for it or unlock it or something.
Yeah, if you get it through a certain retailer, for example, let's say Ultra Magnus is a playable character. If you buy the game through Best Buy, essentially what it is you get access to that character long before everybody else does, so that's essentially what these pre-orders amount to. It seems like, it's kind of like the Call of Duty, map packs that come out, it's like they'll come out on like Xbox first and then they'll be available only on the Xbox for a month. And the PlayStation guys will get them like a month later. So that's kind of the way that works.
Plus, also, if you're not an early adapter and you wait a while, if they release a combo pack or a deluxe edition, they'll usually add that bonus content to a later edition.
Yeah,
just to get some more sales off the title.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, before we move on, I also want to remind everybody that Play With This 2, led by our own Rick Alvarez, is currently going through a Kickstarter 2.0 program where you can fund or pledge money for Play With This 2 so that they can get off the ground and produce the first few figures, including Boneyard and Jet Strike. You can go to Kickstarter.com and search for Play With This 2. I highly urge everybody to help this get off the ground, not because of Rick being a part of our cast, but because these things are flipping awesome. I have personally held both of these molds in my hand, the prototypes, did a photo shoot for them here a while back, and even as very, very early protos that were, very fragile, they were really good, really amazing figures. And if you're a fan of Transformer Pretenders, if you're a fan of Masters of the Universe, any kind of action figure genre, these things will have a place in your collection. They're great. The detailer is amazing. I highly recommend it. Even if you just pledge for one figure, it's one figure. It can help the bottom line. So go to Kickstarter.com and search for Play With This 2, and please pledge for Play With This 2, the Lost Protectors. Let's go on to Master Shooter Collectibles and get this out of the way. You want to do the announcement real quick?
Oh, get it out of the way, like it's going to
get it out of the way because it's
on the show. Yeah. If I don't do it,
I don't know how big our topic will be tonight, so I don't want to forget it. And also with the giveaway, I don't want to forget it. So.
Well, given that it's an exclusive, it's kind of along the theme of our topic for tonight. Tripping on double dipping, buying repaints and stuff. All these exclusives are recolors, and we know Master Shooter's been doing these Target Masters, which are a lot of recolors of the same parts, assembled differently with different weapons. For the exclusive for TFCon, exclusive number one, there's going to be at least two. They're working on a third. But the first one is something that was actually planned for TFCon last year, but there were some problems with production plus personal life stuff that just caused delays. So they held it off until this TFCon. It is High Q and High Fire, which is for the people who missed High Q at Shardicon 2 years ago. This is another chance to get a High Q Target Master figure to put with any of your Optimus Primes, whether it be Classics or Combiner Wars. Now, he is different from the Charlotte one, just so that one maintains its exclusivity. It's different build parts, different shades of red, etc. And he comes with a recolor, which would basically be like your Fire Guts Target Master of High Q, which knows High Q is spelled different for trademark reasons. It's to go with the BotCon Genrai, which was the orange repaint of Optimus Prime based on the Fire Guts Genrai from Japan. So now you have like a little Power Master converted Target Master figure for him as well. And so it's a two-pack that will be available at TFCon Charlotte. You're getting your first peek here. We'll post better pictures up on the Master Shooter Collectibles page and then share it to some other pages tomorrow.
So what you're saying is that there's a capital Q and a lowercase Q.
Yes, because he's burning justice.
Yes.
So, but do you have a rough estimate of how many of these will actually be available at the show?
Just due to limited number of parts, these are limited to 51 sets.
Mm-hmm. Wow! Exactly, so extremely limited.
Yes.
And do they have a price yet?
This two pack here will be $30, which is a bargain because usually for their exclusives at the shows they're $40, which for two figures this size most third party companies charge like $25 a piece. They usually charge $20 a piece for the two packs, but they've decided on this set to do $30. So anticipate those going rather quickly, because all the other sets have always sold out. So.
I think they made a good choice in pricing those at $30 because that is something that is cheap enough that if you're on a convention floor and you see it and know that it's an exclusive and you're like, hey, $30 for an exclusive? Hell yeah, give me,
Yes.
So
especially something that limited, and like I said, they're really cool. I'm personally. As I work for Master Shooter Collectibles, I'm a big fan of what they do, but I really like these. I just think they're awesome to give to the other figures as good accessories. So a lot of the third-party haters, hey, this is encouraging Hasbro sales. Because you could have
to all you third party haters. Yeah. But so no, seriously. I mean, it's you like what you like. If you like only official, you know, more power to you. That's great. You know, official's great, just as great as third party, in my opinion. I mean, third party has a niche, and you know, I know that it's not for everyone, especially because it's so pricey. But if you can afford it, and there's even if you just afford one figure, there's some great stuff out there, really great stuff. I just recently got my hands on the Saurus Ryuo figures from Fans Project, the Dinoichi and Dino-Nee. Absolutely phenomenal figures. And the reason I jumped on these is, like, there is no way in hell I'll ever be able to afford a Dino King realistically with the prices that a vintage Dino King goes for. And quite frankly, the vintage Dino King is awesome as he is and everything. He's super small. And
I can't buy a Monstructor.
Yeah,
he's
super small, and it's like, you know, paying you know, a prostitute paying Greg to go out with him, you know, with her, you know. It's...
Yeah, hey, that's how good I am. The prostitute.
Yeah, you pay a lot of money. You pay a lot of money. You just don't get a whole lot of return. So,
man, that's not fair. They pay me to go away.
but seriously though, I mean, these guys. I'm torn between the first two, Dinoichi and Dino-Nee, is which one are my favorite, because, I mean, the monster modes are just like, ah. I mean, they're good size. They're small Voyager size. Dino-Nee is, I'd say, large deluxe, and Dinoichi is a small Voyager. And the detail, the posability of these guys – far exceeds what the Generation 1 toy can do. So, you know, it's great stuff. I highly recommend
that. And no GPS.
No GPS, yes. Just gold paint.
So it doesn't shatter into 1,000 pieces and you're left crying into your desk.
Yeah. So before we get into our... Well, I guess I'll segue into the topic of the night. And yes, Kat, I know you're there.
Is it an attack?
No, it's not an attack.
It's not a Biggles attack.
He's rubbing on my chair. Yeah.
See, Matthew, other cats don't attack their people that they live with.
Oh, it's all a ruse. He's just trying to charge up static electricity to use against him later.
Yeah.
Mr. Biggles, he's electric.
But we had a listener earlier this week. Listener sent us a message via our comment section on tftalk.net. Monsterbot writes, he's from Cybertron.ca up in Canada. Hey guys, love the podcast. I can read. Hooked on Phonics works for me.
He posted all that.
Let me start over. Hey guys, love the podcast. It has become my must-download Transformer podcast of the week. You guys go deep and delve into the history of... I'm sorry.
That's what she said.
That's what I was thinking. That's what she said. You guys go deep and delve into the history of the brand, as well as discuss the more relevant current issues. An excellent, well-rounded cast with great guest appearances. I had the pleasure of meeting one of your hosts, Proto Man, at Action Figure Expo and chatted it up a while. A true fan like the rest of you guys. It was my own personal mini TFYLP episode. If I may make a suggestion on a future show, double dipping, repaints, remolds, and reissues. I would love to hear you guys tackle this topic. Looking forward to the next episode. Keep up the stellar work. And where are my robots at? Thank you, Monsterbot. For the kind words, and we truly love our listeners out there. And, you know, even though that we've actually covered this topic earlier, like I said earlier, episode 70, we covered it back in 2013. It's been a while, and it's a topic that can come up quite often in this franchise of ours, simply because it's a staple of the franchise ever since Generation 1. You know, whether it's milking a mold just so that you can afford to make new molds, you know, it's something that's always being done. You know, double dipping, remolding, redecos. Hell, a lot of the 84, 85 line was nothing but redecos of the same toys. The Dotson Brothers, the Seekers, what have you. It's been done so many, many times. But what causes... Yeah, it is a great topic.
It's a good topic to revisit because it's very prevalent nowadays, especially with this line, the Combiner Wars. We're seeing the most amount of redecos, remolds, as well as the largest extent of actual remolding instead of just straight repaints that we've ever had.
Yes. Well, you've even got in the current line, like, for example, the R.O.D. 2.0 Legends, you got your Stealth Attack Bumblebee. You know, it's basically just the inverse colors of the Bumblebee toy. Serves really no purpose other than, hey, it's a cool deco on a neat little figure. Then, you know, I was talking about these pre-show. I just got the Asia Kids exclusive Protectobots Emergency Response Team from Amazon. These were like $11, like $12 with Prime shipping. I got the first set like earlier this past year, and you know, so I've got like $20 in this set. But all these are repaints. I mean, you got your Beast Hunters Prowl, Prime Ratchet, and Legends RC, and all these are redecos. I mean, I don't think there's any retooling at all on these, but you're getting extra characters, and it's basically, it caused me to double dip. I've owned these toys before. I don't currently own these molds anymore, except for these. But, you know, these are a really nice deco because if you're unaware, the deco on these is homaging the Japanese Transformers Guard City redeco of Defensor. And I'm like, hey, I would not mind having those. You know, even though they don't combine, hey, it's a really, really nice deco. So that's one of the things I want to talk about tonight is what makes you double dip on a mold? Is it the character? Is it just the coolness of the deco? Is it a remold that, you know, that's like makes it totally different toy to you, or do you just buy it just to buy it?
We have a comment on the Facebook page.
Okay.
Eric Henry, last name I can't pronounce. I'm sorry, Eric. He just says double dipping on a mold. Who would do such a thing? He says, surrounded by seven Masterpiece Seeker molds.
Yes, I mean, it knows no bounds within our fandom. I mean, you know, we'll spend hundreds of dollars on a toy that essentially we already have, you know, but because it's a different character or it's really cool the way it looks, you know, I mean, hell, I own 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different versions of the Nissan Masterpiece mold. You know, I mean, they're essentially the same toy, just, you know, a couple of them have minor differences, like a light bar or a new car front, or maybe a different head, but essentially they're the same toy.
Well, at least they're different characters.
Yeah, they are different characters.
In some cases, you buy the repaint/remold, which is the same character, but they change it so they get rid of a glaring defect.
I don't call that a defect.
I don't like the hip kibble, so
I don't mind it.
It's just technology. Well, a lot of the cases, you have to look. You have to look at the whole repaint thing from two different lights. Is it a Hasbro repaint of an existing character on down the line, or is it Hasbro versus Takara? Because Takara is not as constrained by budget, mass market as Hasbro is, as far as, you know, mass getting it out to the kids. So there, you have to decide initially, are you getting the Hasbro version or are you getting the Takara version? And then on down the road, you get all the other variants from both sides. One of the examples that I'm going to think of is Reveal the Shield Jazz. The American Hasbro Reveal the Shield Jazz is a very blah looking toy. It's okay from some angles, but from other angles, it's like the whole back half of the car has no paint. Yeah, I mean, yeah, he looks great in robot mode, but in car mode, his whole back end is pretty much unpainted, no taillights and stuff like that. So you look at first off, pretty much whenever a new toy is shown at BotCon or Toy Fair, everyone always wonders, this is what Hasbro's showing. What's the Takara version going to look like? So you have to decide between two paint jobs initially, and then you look at, again, like I said, that was not my favorite mold. But for BotCon, with the tread shot and the kickoff, those were some absolutely fabulous paint jobs on a good mold, which completely changed my view of the mold because of the paint jobs that was done to it. And I have Wheelie. I mean, we didn't think that would work as Wheelie.
Oh, but GDO Wheelie? Yeah.
Yeah, the GDO Wheelie from a couple of years ago. So, again, the paint job,
which actually was surprisingly good, by the way.
Yeah, and like I said, when we first heard about that, we were like, no, that's not going to work. And then we get it at hand, and it works really well. So not only are you looking at repaints on down the road with what we've gotten with Tread Shot and Kickoff and Stepper from this year, you have to look at the Takara version as a repaint as well.
Well, you know, Insane Galvatron mentioned earlier that, like, the current line, Combiner Wars, is very redeco, retool heavy. I mean, the line pretty much would be over already if it weren't for redecos. It would have been over after the first wave, honestly, because, you know, well, look at the Legends. You got your Huffer and your Prime, essentially identical toys, just painted differently, you know. Well,
look at Power Core Combiners. The entire second wave was nothing but repaints.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can't sit there and say, I'll never buy a repaint. One use of the mold is all I ever want. In a lot of cases, in saving money, it is a good idea to, you know, it's like, well, I've already got that mold. I don't need it again. I don't know how many times I've actually said that, especially recently. You know, I've got limited space behind me as to what I can buy. I do plan on expanding, you know, with one, maybe two more shelves, but or display cabinets, but. You know, whenever you have limited space, you don't have infinite growth. So you got to be really picky with what you're buying. And one of the ways to do that is say, okay, I've already got that mold. I don't need it again. Mm-hmm. But there are times I'm like, you know, that's just too damn awesome. I've got to get that. Case in point, you know, I love the Masterpiece mold. Yeah, the Sunstreaker. I love the Masterpiece molds. That Dotson mold is just so amazing. And I don't care that I own it five times over. Each one of those decos on the Masterpiece Dotsons are beautiful. You know, not only are they different characters, well, actually three of them are the same character, just painted differently. Mm-hmm. Blue Streak. You got Blue Streak, Silver Streak, and Blue Streak. You know,
I have all three.
Yeah, and sadly.
I said I have all three. Sadly.
Sadly, you say that like that's a terrible thing that you own those guys.
You look how much they cost. Although I will admit, one of them is one of the backdoor sold through alternate means at a lower price pieces. But the other two I bought through normal means.
Well, and then you also have like Masterpiece Exhaust, who is not entirely legal in this area. But, you know, it's actually a new character. I mean, yes, it is based on the Diaclone version of the Wheeljack mold. But as a Transformer, it is a new character. Yes. And that's another thing that we get through redecos and remolds. They gave him a new head, gave him a few new weapons, and totally repainted him a different color. And you have a whole new character and slapped a Decepticon insignia on.
I absolutely love the head sculpt for Exhaust and the original Diaclone Wheeljack too. One thing I wish they would have done though, as far as Wheeljack goes, is yes, you know, it's commonplace to have the cartoon accurate standard Wheeljack head.
That's enough.
And so, is someone echoing? Did we lose?
No,
we lost on. Ah, must be Massey.
Yeah.
As far as Wheeljack, you know, it's something we've become accustomed to is the cartoon accurate, you know, head, where he has the face mask, you know, faceplate, then the eyes, where if you look at the original figure, he doesn't have eyes. The faceplate that we think is a faceplate is actually his visor, and there's a mask below it with a chin at the bottom of it. And I would love to see that representation in Masterpiece. But I don't think we'll get that.
No.
I think it looks better, honestly. Kind of like Snake Eyes. Has the like with a split segmented visor.
Yeah, what happened, Don? You dropped out on us.
Yeah, no, everything went black.
Wasn't me.
No, see, I mean, you know that usually happens when you drink a lot, Don.
No, I could hear everybody, and y'all heard me, but the whole thing went black. So I
and he went back,
and now my text is showing up weird in the chat. But I can see y'all now and y'all can hear me, but I've just got some weirdness on my end.
Is your PC starting to die or something, maybe?
No,
it's as old as dirt, if I'm not mistaken. I think the RFC
Don is a computer.
Both, but mostly.
Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. I forgot. Don's 3 days older than dirt.
Massey, you see him? If you ever see him, fight him.
Attack.
See, Don, computer parts wear out over time because they're like any other machine. You know, you have moving parts in there. Your computer's old. You just need a new computer.
Don, here's a good thing. Sell Utopia, buy a new laptop.
No.
Okay.
I just start charging for Massey attacks, and I'll have money in no time.
I was actually looking at new laptops the other day at Best Buy, and there's some great prices there. But anyway.
Would those be Massey attacks? Tax?
Attacks on Massey attacks? Maybe.
Yes, Massey attacks.
Massey attacks.
A-T-A-X.
Oh, I see what you did. Yes.
The joke was true.
But I gotta say though, in saying Galvatron, what you were saying just brought something else to mind. You were saying how, computer parts tend to wear down, and you know this and the other over time, and it got me thinking that might be part of the reason why we get repaints and remolds. Too, is because, older representations of those characters might not have withstood the test of time or might have just been powder anyway. One prime example is Generation 2. We had Slingshot that if you have any clue as to the status of G2 Slingshot, he is so fragile that if you look at him, he will explode into vapor.
Well, a better example is Classics Seeker Mold. Rick Alvarez told us several episodes back that, you know, there's an entirely new Seeker Mold, Classic Seeker Mold that they made because the original one wore out. They had used it so many times on the myriad, you had Starscream, what, 2-3 times? You had Thundercracker, you had Skywarp, you had Thrust, Dirge, Ramjet,
G2 Thundercracker,
you had the it's been used umpteen dozen times, plus all the hand key uses. So
how recent is this new mold?
I would imagine a couple years.
Really?
He could probably tell us exactly how old or roughly how old, but I would imagine a couple years.
A Hasbro screenshot.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
I see the tail is broken.
But yeah, that actually reminds me of what I was talking about. as far as the GG Slingshot is, you know, that original figure, you're almost never going to be able to really realistically play with that again. The vintage piece. So upcoming here, I think in January, is it? In Combiner Wars, we have the Generation 2 themed Superion box set coming out, which has the, you know, the gold slingshot, or quick slinger now, as he's called. And it's an opportunity to, again, play with that figure in that color, that design, again, for the first time in, what, 20-plus years?
Yeah. Well, I think one thing right now is that we're more willing to buy repaints because the repaints are now planned a lot better. Because Hasbro spent days of them just sticking names on characters that don't have any representation to go with the name is not really a practice anymore. You know, they're actually planning. You know, this started with, you know, the Generations Reveal the Shields, where they started doing other head sculpts with certain models, mm-hmm. like Perceptor would have been Reflector if we'd ever gotten that. So with Combiner Wars...
I forgot about that.
Yeah, so they're actually planning their repaints and their retools in advance. So they make a lot more sense as...
Well, they're designed... They're basically...
Yeah. You know, they're... You there, Dorn?
What?
Go ahead, Don.
Oh, sorry. They're being designed...
you're breaking up really bad.
Sorry, hang on. I'm not sure what's going on my end. Basically, the repaints are being planned out, so they make a lot more sense now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that...
The best example of that, and I think they really hit it, was even going beyond the new head... was the Universe 2.0 Sideswipe Sunstreaker. Well, they not only planned it with different heads, but they worked in alternate transformations for the two brothers. So one had the car hood chest, yes. The other had the roof chest.
My main gripe about that mold, though, is they use translucent plastic needlessly inside the figure. Like the slides for the torso, not that mechanism, translucent plastic, it's going to break.
Well, listener on Facebook, Bill Kustis, he posted 9 minutes ago, said, sometimes I get multiples of the same mode that I like, no matter how many times they repaint it. Case in point, the classic Seekers. I lost track of how many of those I own. You know, it's like, you just like a mold, you'll buy it however many times they release it. I was very much the same way whenever I was heavily into the classics or Chug line. I had tons of those things. There was the first Starscream, then the anime accurate Starscream, then I had a Henkei Starscream, and then I had Thundercracker, I had Skywarp, I had Thrusters and Ramjet, I had... what else did I have?
Acid Storm? Did you say Acid Storm?
Yes, I had Acid Storm and also had Sunstorm. So it's like I had 10 of the same mold at one time.
It was bad for me, and that I had the bot concept with those as well as all the ones.
Yeah,
got those CMHS knockoffs in the Acid Storm, not the Acid Storm, but the Rainmaker colors.
You know, that begs the question. You mentioned the CHMS Seekers. Knowing what we know now, that they made a new classic Seeker mold, did the CHMS, was that from the old mold, or was the old mold destroyed?
It's possible they could have got it out of the factory.
Because I mean, it was so close. I mean, it was so almost virtually indistinguishable from the original classic Seeker mold.
What's the difference between the two?
The what?
Is there any major difference between the two, the old and the
new? I think the facial definition on the CHMS was less than desirable.
I meant between the first mold and the second mold, the new mold.
I don't think there was any distinguishing mark.
They both molds off the same master, so they would be identical.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
But the CMHS were what you'd expect from mold degradation. I mean, some of the details kind of washed out a little, starting to get a little loose. I mean, it just kind of felt like what you'd expect from if the first mold had kept getting used.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I had the very first Sunstorm that I owned, the classic Sunstorm that I owned, was actually the CHMS version before I got the BotCon one. And the CHMS one, literally, you could hold it from the torso and do like that, and the legs would just go, you know. I mean, it was really, really floppy. So,
yeah. Speaking of alternate heads, I completely forgot. When was it? About 4 hours ago, in our TFYLP group, Orson Christian of CapturePrey.com posted prototype shots of the upcoming scatter shot, as well as the potential Armada Demolisher from the Onslaught mold with the Armada Demolisher head. And that's another example repaints and remolds. I did ask him, though. I asked him if it had a different combiner head, and he said it is just the Bruticus head on the prototype. So who knows?
Yeah, and I am eagerly anticipating getting those in my light box, probably within the next week.
I'll tell you what, I really, for
listeners who don't know, if you're following the Facebook group, he says Yellow Wolf Studios will get we'll do their shots. That's me. So,
weird.
But, what? I'm a third party.
What?
Third party
Studios.
Yeah. No, but seriously, I can't wait to get my hands on those. Especially the Brawl. I want to see what the Brawl mold looks like. I think it could be redone into a nose cone. And I'm also excited about the scatter shot. I want to see what they've changed on the scatter shot.
So far as
I plan on doing full turnaround shots on those two. So,
I really hope that they decide to go ahead and go through with this Armada Demolisher idea. Granted, it's not precise to the Armada tank. I mean, nothing's really going to be. It was a unique design. However, I could see them, doing that since they did Armada Megatron, and then last generations, last year they did Starscream. But I mean, they could do Alpha Bravo into Cyclonus, Armada Cyclonus. I mean, there's all sorts of possibilities of things they can do with this. Heck, Sunstreaker into Armada Wheeljack. They could really do something with this.
Yeah. Edward Hunt just posted on our Facebook group, could Takara be making new molds for each Seekers they make? I don't think that's very likely because it's not very cost effective, quite frankly. If you can redeco something and make money off of it without having to make a new mold, then that's more money in your pocket that you can use for either making new characters or new toys, or just for profit, put in your pocket.
Plus in that case, when you consider, we talked about how repaint started out in the original, Starscream, Thundercracker, Skywarp are the same toy, different colors. It wouldn't make sense to have them be three different molds in the same time.
Yeah. And even whenever they add new parts, for example, like the cone heads, essentially, it's the exact same mold. They just change like a portion of the mold, like for the wings and the head. Everything else is the same. I believe the way the molds, those molds were probably made, they were compartmentalized. It's like you have, you can just dam off because the way
They use multiple toolings, don't they?
Well, like they may make multiple toolings, but I would imagine that they have one big die, and as the plastic is shot into the die, it goes down a channel, and you can dam off different parts that you don't want to run. For example, like you have the classic seeker wing, the Delta wing, and then you have the thrust wing. If you want the thrust wing, you dam off the classic seeker wing, the Delta wing, and it will the plastic will fill into the seeker or the thrust wing area of the mold. Vice versa, if you want the Delta wing and not the thrust wing, you dam that off. And I believe it's all just done through one mold. Saves on tooling costs, saves on, you know, on different molds. It's less expensive to make it into one mold than to make an entirely new mold that does something essentially the same thing.
The molds, though, they're limited by size. I think the customizing class at Botcom pretty much proves it, like a deluxe figure, because you can tell by the number of sprues it's on. Each sprue will come out of a single mold. And I think like the G2 Sideswipe they did had like 7 sprues. So that tells us on that particular deluxe mold, there were 7 different steel molds. So like for the Seekers, for example, they could have put the head and the wings on just one of those. So the other 6 would be all the other parts. So yeah. For Dirge, you'd still use the same 6 for the rest of the body, but use a different one for the head and wings.
You know, I actually used to work in a manufacturing plant for Panasonic. About 15, 20 years ago. And I worked in the metal stamping area, but I was also trained in the injection molding. So I know a little bit about how it's done. And I can tell you just from the size of the molds that we use for the injection molding department, we made like these little brackets for electric motors. And the brackets for one mold, you could get like 6 or 7, and they were like about this big around squared. And we got like 6 or 7 out of one mold. And, you know, the molds themselves were easily 2 to 3 feet wide by 2 to 3 feet high. So, you know, I mean, you can fit a lot inside of one of those molds. It doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be a small, tiny mold. I mean, there are small ones, but, you know, we had molds that were like 2 or 3 feet wide. So, you know, I could see them doing it on one mold. Just and the sprues, literally, you can have 3 different sprues out of one mold. You know, it's not just one sprue in one mold. You know, you can set them up in like one of them was set up in a triangle pattern. There was one sprue in the upper left, one sprue in the upper right, and then one in the middle that was kind of long that was on the bottom. And, you know, there was completely independent sprues. You take them out, they're connected by like one little piece of plastic. You just break that piece of plastic and you got one set here, one set here, one set here, you know. And you can actually make 3 different things at the same time off of one mold. And in St. Galvatron, you may be familiar with that too, with a certain first release of something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's how that's done. You know, I know it's a little bit confusing for those, but
save money too is you don't want to waste a lot of plastic. So if you know you're going to need it in 3 colors, sometimes they'll divide the parts by color. That's why Botcom has to be careful with their choosing their color layouts, because certain parts are grouped together on certain molds. So like a deluxe toy, like in Sideswipe's case, we know there are at least 7 different sprues. So they have to kind of, when they do the repaint, well, all these parts have to be the same color. And all these parts have to be the same color because those are what's grouped together in the mold. You know,
so yeah, well, it's for example, like here's the Legends or Legion class underbite mold from RID2. I mean, you got purple plastic and you got black plastic, and then the rest of it's just silver paint. But this essentially probably came off of 2 separate sprues. One sprue is all purples and the other sprue was all black. And the all black one had, looks like the wheels and a couple of the joints. And the rest of it was all purple. So that essentially probably came off of one mold. But
they would gate off each half of it so they're not wasting plastic for the whole thing with one color.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of a good example that some of our viewers might be able to do to look at in case they're not quite visualizing what you're describing is if anybody's ever done the Gundam model kits, those sprues and things, or just model kits in general, really. But Gundam is what comes to mind to me because that's one I've done the most, and I've seen where like each sprue will be a different color, or sometimes the one sprue will be two different colors, and it'll have some yellow parts on the left half, and the rest of the sprue will be blue or red or whatever the pieces mm-hmm. happen to be. That's another thing you can check out.
Yeah. The manufacturing processes can get very, very detailed. And I know some listeners or viewers may be a little bit confused if they don't quite follow what we're saying, especially if you never worked in a manufacturing environment. Mm-hmm. It can be. Here. Yeah, that's good.
This is actually from the the Minerva, I think, BotCon class. And you see there, these we're talking about with the sprues. So there's at least two sprues of white parts, maybe three. Looks like two, maybe double stacked here. And then you've got the clear blue and the red. So that way, regardless, I'm not sure exactly how they're molded, but there's at least one, two, three, four sprues, maybe five, in that one deluxe toy, which could have been anywhere mm-hmm. from five individual small molds, or could have been one mold that was gated so they could run different sections, different colors.
Mm-hmm. That's a good visual for those of you who are watching. That's a good visual for what we're talking about here. And again, like I was saying, sometimes it can be difficult if you're not familiar with manufacturing process or anything. You can just Google image search, sprues and injection molding and learn a little bit about it. But once you understand how things are made, a lot of your questions and sometimes even your complaints whenever you see Hasbro or Takara come out with another repaint, you're like, oh, God, why are they doing this? A lot of it can be answered with an understanding of the manufacturing process. It can be very expensive. It's very expensive to make molds. I mean, just a small mold, roughly, for example, the mold to make this little $5 toy probably cost anywhere between $2,000 and $10,000, depending on where they have it made and who's making it and how detailed it is.
Depending on the factory, I've heard prices anywhere more like from $5,000 to
$30,000. Yeah.
For something that small.
Yeah. So it's very, very expensive. So that's why.
And I will say the price reflects quality and what you get, too. You can get molds made cheaper. For the lower prices, you're usually going to get a lower quality product because, like with anything, mm-hmm. craftsmanship costs. So if the factory's going to spend extra time getting that tooling just right, they're going to charge more, which I think is part of the reason. I know some people have criticized Play With This 2's Kickstarter because their goal is higher than last time. But I think a lot of that has to do with Rick's connections because of working at Hasbro. He's going with a better factory that's going to make a better quality product. And, of course, the tooling costs. I mean, most people think, a lot of people think that money's going, but I'm sure a large chunk of that is just going to tooling. Because that stuff's not cheap. I mean, it could be as high as, $60,000 just for the tooling for those two figures. And then the other 30 would go toward production, packaging, paint.
Yeah. I don't know if my video was, really lagging out there for a second, so I don't know if the listeners got all that, but
sounded fine to me.
Yeah. Okay. It really lagged out for me, but the gist of what I got you were saying, I agree with because production costs are really, really expensive, and that explains a lot of why there are so many repaints sometimes. I mean, especially like the Masterpiece Dotson molds. I mean, they have repainted that a million times over already. The Masterpiece Seeker molds a million times over already. I mean, the different versions of Starscream, Thundercracker, and Skywarp alone do we have? You've got you got to have those repaints in order to fund newer molds being made.
Right.
You know, it without repaints, redecos or retools, quite frankly, Transformers would be a very short-lived and uninteresting line because there wouldn't be as they'd be more expensive, and there wouldn't be as many different characters or toys out there.
Well, for that matter,
because if you really stop and think, a good, just roughly, I'm gonna pull a number out of my butt. 80 to 90% of Transformers are redecos or retools.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's a fair assessment.
Well, you mentioned Masterpiece. Just if you think back, Dawn, over the past decade.
Yeah.
What was that? Oh, the video is like really lagging out on me again.
Oh, I can't even see y'all again. My whole screen's black.
I suspect it has a lot to do with the weather, because Don said it's storming where he's at, and it's also storming here.
Yeah,
and St. Galvatron is only about 40 miles from me, so I'm assuming it's storming there too.
Yes, it is.
Well, another thing, if you think back over like the past decade or so since we've even had Masterpiece at all, think back to how Masterpiece first started out. You had Optimus Prime. You had Ultra Magnus. The Nemesis Prime, the dead Optimus Prime, the Optimus Prime with the trailer. I mean, out of the first MP09, figures, you had Megatron, Starscream, Thundercracker, Skywarp, Sunstorm, and all these others. You had Rodimus or Rodimus Prime, and you had Grimlock. Well, wait, was Soundwave in that, or no? He was after that B10, wasn't he? Yeah, he was later. But just in those first nine,
Rodimus.
What's that?
I think
Rodimus. I believe Rodimus was the last of the.
He was MP09. But how many Optimuses and how many Seekers did we get just in the first nine Masterpieces? That they were of a complex scale. They had all these different detailings and features. That you wouldn't find it in an average figure. And the price reflected that, I think. But as a result of it doing so well, look at what we're getting now. You know, we're able to get smaller scale with the same level of detail, maybe a little bit less complexity. Like if you look at, Sideswipe or Bumblebee, something like that. But even so, we're still able to get these wonderful representations of these characters in that classification of Masterpiece because of all the repaints and whatnot that we got from the get-go in the origin of the line. So.
Yeah. Well, we're also seeing a significant, we've talked about this already, but another good example, I think, would be double dipping, because the mold has been retooled so much. We're seeing unprecedented levels of retooling in molds, such as what I'm thinking of, Springer and Sandstorm, Silverbolt and Cyclonus.
They just announced another Springer today.
Yeah.
Which I want, by the way. That thing looks gorgeous.
Yeah. So, I mean, not only we are buying the same basic molds, but they're restructured to the point where they are almost worth considering as a different mold because there is so much redone. I mean, look between Springer and Sandstorm.
Yes.
Between those two and just...
In Combiner Wars, Rook and Swindle are so different, they're like two different toys.
Exactly. So, I mean...
Look anything alike.
Yeah. So I think that helps the fact that when you look at it, it's like, well, I am kind of buying the same mold, but I'm also not, because it's so different that you're really, and plus with being Combiner Wars, you're going to need to complete the sets anyway. So it's nice that everything has got some variations, so you don't have, like I said, with Power Four Combiners, every other wave was a repaint wave.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Got a lap full of Massey again. He's being real, real affectionate for some reason. I'm not sure what he's planning.
So he's not being a masshole.
He's being kind of good, which is kind of worrying.
That's suspicious.
Yes, very suspicious. But you know, there's a lot. There's, you know, but I think one thing about Combiner Wars is that we do need some new molds, because even with the amount of retooling that we're getting, we really could use a couple of fresh molds in lineup.
Well, yeah. About that, I want to say that for the most part, aside from the upcoming squadrons of Autobots like Wheeljack, Trailbreaker, Mirage, and all them, for the most part, I want to say that these first runs of molds are just about done. Because starting next year, we're transitioning into different sets of molds, with examples of like Brawl coming down the pipeline, Skylynx, and all these other new ones. Grant, we're still getting remolds and repaints like Blastoff and Scattershot, him being from the Silverbolt mold, but they're. I think they're just about done with repainting and remolding what we've got so far, and are kind of working on transitioning toward other ones. Because we're going to get Bruticus, and that uses a variation of the Hotspot mold in Onslaught. We're getting Blastoff that was Quickslinger, sorry. But Swindle is from. Rook, but he's a heavy remold into a Jeep from a what kind of vehicle is that? SWAT vehicle?
Armored SWAT car.
But Brawl is a completely new mold, a totally brand new mold. Skylynx, when I first looked at the thing on the screen at BotCon there in the panel, at first glance I was like, is that the Silverbolt mold? Now I got to look at it, I was like, no, that's not. That's a whole new figure. And I am still not convinced until I see it in person that thing does not separate into two halves. I'm going to find a way, even if it's just removing a screw somewhere. There's got to be a separate bird in the links.
And as far as repaints go, I think we'd be remiss not to bring up BotCon. We have already in the past.
That's right.
But BotCon is basically repaints of existing molds. And with some with retooled heads or parts,
mm-hmm.
and those of us that have gone to BotCon usually get these sets because they're different characters, different universes, but they are all basically repaints and some with slight remolds, thrust wings, the head sculpts, other than with the exception being Oilmaster, mm-hmm. a completely new mold. From a canceled concept. But right. We will see that Oilmaster set down the road, I think, because, that and the Scorponok from the Pirates versus Knights set.
Yeah.
So.
That was a good figure.
Yeah, so those are very unique in the Mythos. Yes, they're repaints, but again, they're heavy remolds, or in the case of Oilmaster, brand new. But sure. BotCon is basically, and look at the Collectors Club. Next year's figure.
Thunder Mayhem, is it?
Thunder Mayhem. Mayhem Maximus? I can't remember the name.
Something like that. Miles Mayhem? I don't know.
giant mask comes down on top.
Right, but that's going to have Bludgeon. Dog, not Dogfight, a silly bot.
Spinister,
which was previously a Target Master.
But we still is.
Needle Nose,
Spinister, anyway. Impactor, Bludgeon.
I forgot about Impactor. That's right. Isn't that the Swindle mold or the Rook mold?
The Rook, I believe it's the Rook mold. No.
I called it.
Well, this is the second one. It was attacked at the beginning of the show. There's nobody said anything about it.
No.
Video listeners watching saw it.
No.
Guys, I am having a lot of problems with my video here. here. I don't know if you've dropped. I don't know if you noticed I've dropped like twice.
Yeah, we noticed it. At least I did anyway.
No, the rest.
I actually saw two of you there for a moment. Meow to you too.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I keep getting network difficulties here. So, well, actually, no, I can barely hear you. You guys are breaking up really bad. So,
translating through on YouTube, if the viewers can hear us.
I hope not. And if it is, I do apologize.
Me, Jim, and Don, our connection still seems to be good and strong. While you're cutting in and out, we're still okay. Able to converse.
Yeah. Well, so, I still can't see y'all.
That's
well, that's your ancient computer, Don. It's already gone blind. It's
well, let's do a quick roundtable of what would cause us to buy or not buy a repaint, redeco, or retool. Don, let's hear you.
What would cause us to or not to buy one?
Both.
Well, both.
What are your qualifications to always buy the repaint?
And then okay. No, it's either got to be a character-specific repaint that fits the mold, or it has to have a personal significance. Like, for example, the Nightbird mold coming out from RC. I think it looks great. But I don't plan on right now getting that, even though it is a repaint and a remold. And it's a mold that has personal significance, but the character doesn't really mean much to me.
Well, come on. It's the home wrecker that almost broke up Megatron and Starscream.
I wasn't going to go there. But if it's a repaint that I like, there's so many that I could just point to, yet nothing's readily available here that I can just say, yes, I would. But, there's tons of molds that I'll buy because I like the mold, just because I like to get a new version of that mold. Maybe it's a new character. It really depends on does the mold fit the character, or is the paint job like something that I would like to see on that mold? Like the Jazz mold. If they had not come out with any of the other figures for Reveal the Shield Jazz, I probably would have sold that Jazz mold by now. So blah to me. But now that I've seen what it looks like with actual paint applications from that BotCon exclusives and the Takara figures, I like that mold a lot better now.
Yeah. What about you, Jim?
Well, it depends. One of the big draws for me, I think, is if there's a team or a set. For instance, the Seeker Jets, the Datsun Trio, things of that nature, or if they're part of the same squadron, like the Aerial Bots, you've got Quickslinger and Firefly that are practically the same mold, only with different heads. So I think that urge to complete that team or that group is a big draw because they're so closely associated all the time. At the same time, the character, characterization of a repaint, I think even if it's a separate character, is also important, but repainting just for the sake of just having something different, maybe in the rare exception, if it's done right, I could see it, but otherwise, it honestly just bugs me. One thing that I cannot stand, and viewers may disagree with me, I cannot stand the concept of the whole stealth mode Bumblebee thing. The black
that, yeah,
the,
that's,
with the yellow stripes, what's he trying to blend into? The pavement?
Yeah, that's... I think a lazy repaint is almost...
But it's so pretty!
...detrimental to a certain mold. It's like... Okay, it's like that clear Rodimus, the clear blue Rodimus that came in the three-pack.
Why does that exist?
You know, it's just... it's a lazy repaint to cash in on the mold to get more use out of it. Right. I mean, we all understand that. But it's boring. It's another reverse color Bumblebee, or it's another
Platinum Soundwave. Platinum Soundwave right there.
Or Linkin Park Soundwave.
Black.
Yeah, Linkin Park Soundwave.
Flames, that's the better version of that mold.
Big Butter Soundwave.
Even so. Nice.
Can't believe it's not Soundwave.
Yes.
If you get that reference,
I do. I appreciate that. But he would have to drive on the Ohio, Iowa, Idaho, Hawaii highway. But really, though, that Stealth Bumblebee, okay, you've got a black car and he's got yellow stripes. So from an aerial view, it's just going to look like a set of windows traveling down the road. You're not going to be able to tell him from the pavement and the stripes on the street. I'm sorry, it's just a sentient set of window glass just traveling about. It doesn't work for me. I'm sorry. But ultimately, I think that the being part of a team is one of the main draws for getting a repaint for me.
All right. What about you, Greg?
Well, I used to always say if it's a repaint, just like the same character upgraded, I didn't like that. Like in Armada and Energon.
Yeah, like Starscream getting the power-up colors.
But when it's like a new character, I was always all for it, like Starscream to Thundercracker and Skywarp. Because at least when they make it a new character, it gives it a new purpose to exist other than just, hey, it's the same guy, just wearing a different suit today. But even with that, I will still occasionally buy. I really, really like the mold. Like, for example, the RID Car Brothers from RID 1.0. I bought the power-up versions because I love those molds. So I was happy to buy them again. But I didn't do Armada and all that because I thought,
Yeah, because do we really need two of the that Starscream mold?
Yeah, the thing is, if they had taken the Power Links Hotshot from, say, Armada, when they, you know, put him in Hot Rod colors, mm-hmm. if they had made him a new character, I probably would have loved it. But the fact that it was just upgraded Hotshot had no desire.
They even went through the trouble of redoing the head for that, too, if you remember right.
Yeah. It's, for me, personally, I will, assuming I'm collecting a line, I'll always buy the repaint. If it's, I'm a lot more selective than what I used to be, but if it's a line I'm collecting, I'll buy the repaint if it's a new character. I typically won't if it's the same character upgraded, unless I really like the toy. Like, for example, I thought, you know, the breakdown mold from Minasaur made a great breakdown. And I thought, well, if they were doing it in Sideswipe because of the episode of Masquerade, I'll buy that. But then I heard about Sunstreaker, and I'm like, no, it's a repaint, and it is a new character, but Sunstreaker was never part of a combiner. And I mean, at least Sideswipe pretended for an episode.
Yeah.
But he actually so works good. In that mold.
The toy looks so good in hand, I couldn't resist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, see,
But if this if this were just powered up breakdown, I probably wouldn't have cared. But the fact that it's Sunstreaker, a character that I know and like.
Go ahead, Don.
And it looks good.
Oh, so I was just gonna say, you know, I had that Wave 4 set and I returned it for several reasons. It's just I wanted to love it, but I've been wanting a Masquerade Minasaur for so long, and I thought if I got that set I could make myself love it as close enough. And I just realized that it's not even close enough. So those molds, as good as I love them, because of, you know, they weren't the right characters, they weren't the right colors. Again, I'm not trying to be picky. I'm just saying that's kind of what that set was shooting for. But it wasn't even close enough for me.
Well, I missed the mark.
I think the reason they mixed up the characters, like you got Sunstreaker to the Sideswipe, was because I think they were trying to go for the overall color layout of, like, for the Energon Prime when he had his drones.
Precisely.
Because he had a yellow drone, so...
Which
they should have saved Alpha Bravo for that, in my opinion, but whatever.
Yeah, that would have made more sense than Prowl, because at least he's helicopter.
I gotta say, though, you just know, just by the existence of them doing that as a Sunstreaker, you just know they're gonna do the Sideswipe. It may take a couple years, but it's gonna happen.
Well, I was looking at the breakdown mold the other day, and his head, while very square to look like breakdown, it has a lot of the sides head details, like especially on the forehead area.
Yes, so they can
reuse that head and make the sides wide.
Yeah, no retooling, just straight up repaint.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I'll buy it.
Well, see, the thing is, I don't know if you noticed. I posted in our public group a few days ago. I put together my own Grand Prime. Basically, it's the Combiner Wars Prime with Sunstreaker, Mirage, Prowl, and Alpha Bravo. I left out Ironhide because he just doesn't hit the mark for me as a repaint. He's not bulky enough. His face sculpt is too youthful looking, in my opinion. He just doesn't work for Ironhide for me, and he's just too skinny for that character. But yeah, I kind of made my own character in the Grand Prime because I went and got the Perfect Effect upgrade kit with the hands and the feet, which are awesome, by the way. And you can also buy those at Capture Prey for about $30. A little plug there. And I highly recommend them. They are awesome. But I made my own character in my Grand Prime because, you know, I gave Sunstreaker an arm, Mirage an arm, Prowl a leg, and Alpha Bravo a leg. And I just like the cohesion of that. It doesn't really have any basis in the cartoon or anything. It's something that appealed to me as a collector. That's why I bought it. Although, as a general rule, what Insane Galvatron said, I typically avoid repaints if it's just a repaint of the same character in different colors. This is a good example. Yes, I do have the other version of this, but I have an awesome girlfriend that we were in a store the other day, and she picked it up and said, "Oh, that's a pretty color," and then tossed it in the cart.
Her fault.
So, yeah. No, I don't say it's a fault. I think it's awesome.
Asphalt.
Yeah.
It's just a Bumblebee repaint. Had that called it Red Bumblebee, I would have passed, but they called it Cliff Jumper. I own it.
Yeah. Did you do the yellow or the gold on the hood, or did it come like that? I can't remember.
Yeah, those are stripes, kind of reminiscent of the classic Cliff Jumper. He had the silver and black lightning bolts on him.
I think it's his lighting that makes it look gold.
Yeah.
Yeah, for poor lighting.
But one instance that I completely forgot about that, what we were talking about, repaints just to be an upgraded figure. But in an instance that I think worked really well because they worked it into the fiction. And it was part of a squad, was the RID 2001 Carr Brothers, Prowl, X-Bron, and Sideburn. When they received their upgraded forms from Ultra Magnus in The Matrix.
That was a good one, yeah.
I thought that worked really well.
It made sense. I mean, it was in the fiction, and they gave it a story. Now, if it has a reason behind it, it makes me want it. That's a different story. But if it's like, okay, there's no reason for this, just here's the same toy that you already own in really cool colors, buy it. That's usually not good enough for me.
Didn't Armada and Energon do the same thing, though? They put it in the story.
Armada and Energon were notorious for that.
Power Links,
they had a story reason, but it sucked.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though, the naming convention in Transformers Energon was disastrous. Just the fact that you can own an Energon something.
Hey, Energon and Disastrous is pretty much synonymous at this point. So
everybody together now, this is a TFYLP staple. Energon sucks on 1, 2, 3. Energon sucks.
It's kind of okay.
Okay, that was a little bit off.
You were banned from the show.
Yes.
You say it to okay.
But then how am I going to do TFYLP and chill?
We even got Aaron Archer to say it. So, there. Go back to the Aaron Archer episode. At the end of the episode, I think we got him to say Energon sucks. Yeah. So, but, repaints, redecos, retools, great subject. We've covered it before. We've touched on it again tonight. I believe we're going to wrap it up. Oh, wait a minute. There's one more thing we need to do. I think it's time, people. I think it's time. You think it's time, Jim?
I think it might be time.
Is it
Don, do you think it's time?
Is it time to dip Jim in chocolate and make him a bunny?
That's weird. Greg, is it
time? I like chocolate.
It is time to unite the chocolate and the peanut butter and make Reese cups.
Yeah, let's unite with us. It is time for Unite With Us. Listeners, if you have been listening for the past 5 weeks, you have the clues already. And with this, hopefully with this last clue, we'll give you the answer that you need to do it. Jim, if you'll watch the Facebook group and I'll watch the Twitter account, hopefully it'll come
up. I will try, but my PC is having issues as far as refreshing the
page. I am watching the Facebook group. Let me get
it also watching
refreshed.
Okay.
I want to reiterate the. Go ahead, Don.
No, I was gonna say since y'all are watching those, do you want me to give the clue so y'all can watch the screens?
No, I've actually got it pulled up. I literally have the Twitter like right next to my screen.
Okay, all
right,
cool.
But cool. So, and hopefully, you know, if people are listening and watching this right now, it'll be instantaneous. If not, you know, people may have to think about it. It may not be readily apparent to them. So, you know, listeners, if you are listening on the podcast, check out our Twitter feed and check out our Facebook group. If nobody's answered it, hey, give it a shot. But, you know, chances are somebody will have already answered it. But we're gonna do it. Yes, I am dragging this out intentionally long. But, you know, to build up the suspense. Are you suspenseful? Do you like suspense movies? I like horror movies a little bit, you know.
H-O-R-R-O-R. Just for clarification.
Focus on the suspense are fine. I don't like gore.
Gore, yeah. I'm not a fan of gore. I didn't like the Final Destination movies. Yeah.
I do want to
reiterate, it is helpful. Extremely helpful if you are already a follower of us on Twitter at TFYLP. If you haven't followed us, follow us on Twitter if you're playing, especially, and also on the Facebook group. I just approved somebody. I just saw approval come up there, and I approved it real quick. Hopefully, you got in there quick enough if you're playing. So, if you're going to post it. Post it as soon as you can. Have your fingers ready on the keyboard for the final clue. Do it
right now.
Do it now.
Just do it.
No, you're
Make
not eligible.
Your dreams come true.
Yes. So yeah, we've.
I'm not eligible. You are.
Yes, we have dragged this out long enough.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen,
I'm now. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the Generation X proudly brings to you. It's all right.
Let's not ruin this wonderful moment with wrestling.
But wrestling is awesome,
brother.
I'll wrestle you, Don.
Hey, Don, both your podcast bosses fire you now. But today's clue. The sixth and final clue in the Unite With Us giveaway. Be sure to tweet it at TFYLP on Twitter, on our Facebook group. The winner of this will win a complete Combiner Wars Minasaur with Breakneck and Blackjack. Today's clue is...
Wait. Maybe we should hold off till next week. That way
no.
It's 7 weeks.
No, it's
For
not.
Seven
it's not. No,
seven
no,
cons.
It's tonight. It's C-cons. The clue is C-cons. Do you have an answer? Who has an answer? Who has an answer?
I think there is.
Do we have an answer? Tonight's clue is C-cons.
Maybe we should announce the winner next week. Leave everybody it's wondering who won.
No.
Maybe we should take 6 weeks to announce the winner.
Jim, you are really trying to make everyone mad tonight, aren't you?
Release a little bit of their name each week, and they have to listen all 6 weeks to find out who they are.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This week's clue is Seacons. If you have all the clues written down, if you've been following them, put all six clues together. What answer do you come up with? Now, I've asked 4 or 5 people that are associated with the show. I even went to Orson, Sidecutter from Capture Prey, and I said, hey, is this too far out there? I said, here's the clues. What's the answer? And he answered it right away. So, and a couple other people did too. Yeah, you figured it out too. Yeah, so it's not so obtuse that you can't guess it. All right, we have a Twitter answer. Okay, Outback 77, you gave us the clues, but you didn't give the and Michael Rezer, no, it's very close. Very close. Do we have a...
Maybe we got one from Facebook. I just posted it in the chat.
What is the Facebook answer?
Dalton Bratton? Bratton?
No. It is not Piranacon. People's hitting right around it. Hitting right around it. Listen to the clues. The Outback 77 posted the clues on Twitter, but he didn't answer the what's the answer to all the clues? Not Terra Dive. Just think about
something
the type
wrong with my feed, because I don't even see that guess on Facebook right now.
I don't see his guess on Twitter.
Dinobot Maximize is getting really close. It's really close. It's really, really close. Really, really close. People's getting their guesses out there. I mean, you're hitting right on it, but you got to say, and that's the answer. Okay. Bill Kustis, let's see what he says. Is it in response to that? Ah, no. All right, we're going.
I was looking at the wrong post. I was looking at Big Butter Jesus. I'm like, what? I was like, oh yeah, the Haywood Banks. Right.
Everybody's hitting really, really close, but there's a specific name I'm looking for. Yeah, if you put all six clues together, what name does it come to? I mean, this is just so close, but we can't give it away with close. You know, close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades, not just
and dynamite.
Contest.
And dynamite.
Yeah.
Come on, people. Y'all know this.
There's people. I mean,
What is the hashtag?
Y'all know this.
Yes.
Bill Kustis, I don't think it's Transmittal 2 Dinobot.
No, it is not Transmittal 2 Dinobot. Although he is white and gold.
Slanimous.
What's he got to do with this?
I will have to say the guesses that I'm seeing on Twitter right now are, they're pretty darn close, but I haven't seen the name posted yet.
Although in hindsight, Big Butter Jesus is also gold.
Yeah, but Outback 77, he posted all six clues right there. So,
what is the hashtag we need to be looking for on TFYP? What do they need to include with their guest to make sure we see it?
Hashtag Unite With Us, capital U, capital W, and capital U. Unite With Us, capital W. Yeah, Unite With Us. And also tweet it at TFYLP. It helps us to notice it really quick. It's out there. It's not something that people should be. I didn't think people would guess it right away. But you got to think about it. There's some really close guesses there. But we'll be watching.
Any of our viewers that are bad at grammar, don't do what I did the other day and put untie with us. It's U-N-I-T-E. Unite, not untie.
Let's see here. Well, any other thoughts while, keep getting those guesses in there. Now that you have all six clues, you can guess now. Yeah. It's right there. Actually, Outback 77, I just noticed the fifth clue is not accurate.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
He's trying to throw off other people is what he's doing. He's putting out
very clever. Very, very clever.
Diabolical.
Yes. But you okay, Michael Reser, your guess is not specific enough. Very general. But let's see here. Well, while people are shooting those guesses in and looking at the clues again, and probably doing some Google foo.
Google foo.
Yeah.
That sounds like closing something you name a puppy.
Yes. Any closing thoughts on repaints, redecos, and retools? Which happens, incidentally, to be really related to our answer.
Yes, it does.
Well,
I was going to ask you, Insane Galvatron, I completely forgot what you said earlier. The Master Shooter collectibles set that has the Haikyuu and the Fire Guts. How much was that set going to be again?
$30.
And that's for both figures.
That's for both figures in a 2-pack.
All right, we have a winner.
All right,
Nathan O'Connor, God Neptune. Congratulations to Nathan O'Connor on Facebook. We have a winner. Nathan O'Connor, you are the winner of the Unite With Us giveaway. I will tweet that right now. Let's see, hear me.
Yep.
Let's see here.
Because God Neptune is the only one of the C-Con versions that I don't have and won't.
He is gorgeous too, but finding one complete is a pain in the ass.
Yeah, and you still can't combine them because they have no combiner parts.
I just checked Twitter. Michael Reser posted the answer about, or is that the one you said was just close?
Because it was close. He posted King Poseidon. Poseidon and God Neptune are not the same. King Poseidon came a little bit later. I think King Poseidon is a Japanese name for Piranacon.
From Master Horse.
Oh yeah, comes from Zone. That's right. He did it from Zone.
Yeah, and God and Neptune can't actually combine because they didn't include the combiner parts with it.
Really?
Right.
The Beast Force.
All the six members.
Neo for. Yeah, I thought yes. they forgot Archerbot.
Now, let's see here, Nathan. Let's see here. Let's see. Pulling you up here. Contact us on the Facebook group there, and shoot me a message with your mailing address. If you're in the United States, we'll ship that out to you probably within the next week or so. If you're outside the United States, outside of U.S. and Canada, as per the rules, we'll need you to pay for the shipping on that. We did state that earlier on the thing, but we will get with you, and you can message me on Facebook or send us a message on Facebook or on Twitter with your mailing address, and we will get that great set out to you. So congratulations to Nathan O'Connor for winning the Unite With Us.
Or Untie With Us. It depends on which one you wanted.
The Untie With Us giveaway. That is really, really awesome. Let's see.
Now you have a set of Stunicons to be able to play with whenever you TFYLP and chill.
Yeah. So that is really awesome. God Neptune is our answer for the Unite Not With Us giveaway. It's combiner related, a little bit out there. The whole purpose of that was to, you know, with combiners being the focus of the toy lines right now, people who may not be familiar with the history of combiners, it'd be something for you to look into and see what's out there as far as combiners. And God Neptune is like one of those really, really weird redecos, repaints of Piranacon. He's already messaging me and everything. Thank you, Nathan. It's great. I'll get with you here in a moment as soon as the show wraps. But yeah, God Neptune is one of those great redecos of Piranacon that is just absolutely gorgeous. If you're not familiar with God Neptune, do some Google image searching and find out what he looks like. I will say that I've actually looked for one in the past, and from what I've seen, they are not cheap. And also finding one with the foot pads intact, they will combine. But just finding one with the foot pads and the fists is a pain in the ass. I mean, that's bottom line. But anybody have any closing thoughts before we wrap the show up tonight?
Well, I'm going to just say I hope Hasbro keeps working with Takara on giving us the level of repaint and remolds that we are getting, because it does keep the line fresh, short of brand new molds. But I also hope that we do get some new molds interjected into this line.
Sorry to bore you, John. Don.
No, I've been up since 4 o'clock this morning, so I'm a little tired.
I feel you.
All the blood loss from the Massey attacks.
Through that too.
Well, so, that has no legs.
Yeah. So, I hope we get some new molds. I would love to see one new mold per wave. That's probably asking a lot, I know. But I do hope that they keep up the retooling, the repainting. But I hope we do get some molds. I love what they've done. We said this before. Superion, the first wave, was so strong out of the gate for a brand new line. And it really, I mean, there's been a few flaws with Minasaur, and Defensor has a few small issues. But overall, this is probably one of the strongest running lines since the inception. last year.
Prince Valiant. Prince Valium. When Princess Vespa.
I'm sorry, it's the hair.
Marriage. Marriage is the...
But anyway, that's my...
crossover ever.
that's my final thoughts. Is I love Combiner Wars. I like what they're doing. Keep it up. But give us some new molds every now and then. Otherwise, it's going to get real old real fast.
Yeah. What about you, Jim?
Well, final thoughts... love them or hate them, repaints, remolds, and reissues are going to be around. They're part of the brand since its inception, and even before Transformers as a brand. When Diaclone was out, they were doing it. When implemented properly, you know, I think it helps carry the line and helps perpetuate the brand overall. But when it's not done properly, they tend to kind of warm the shelves and look like the pavement that they're driving on, and disembodied windows traveling. But
I like them. What about you, Greg?
I'm sorry, I was looking at the Twitter. I missed the question.
Final thoughts. This is Jerry Springer's final thoughts.
My final thoughts, repaints are something that are a necessary evil. A lot of people complain about them. even though they've been around since the beginning. I mean, Diaclone stuff was full of repaints. They got ported over. You know, my final thoughts is I've accepted it, and I've embraced it. And depending on the toy, I buy it or I don't. I think the biggest thing is, you know, just kind of do what you want to do. If you're the kind of collector who thinks it's a waste of money to buy the same toy a second time just because the color's different or it has a different head, then don't buy it. But if you're the kind of collector that loves it, buy it. I don't see why people bicker and argue about it. Yeah. I see all these Facebook groups where people just, oh, that's just a stupid repaint. Well, don't buy it. And why are you going to be doing this for fun? Just kind of chill. You know, just find our wars and chill and don't buy
it. I'll,
you know, I want to give our friend, the Maz, a plug. He kind of foreshadowed. I'm the subject of his next article on the source article, the collector's interviews. And one of the things he asks me in there is some tips that I would give to new collectors. And one of the tips that I gave applies here. No, one of the tips that I gave was buy what you like. Don't buy it just to buy it. Don't buy it because it's you know, it's going to be worth something down the road. Honestly, and we've said this before on the show, if you're buying, if you're collecting Transformers as an investment, it's a fool's errand. Honestly, the values of toys rise and fall. You know, you might hit the jackpot with them, but it's really a shot in the dark. If you stick to what you like and buy what you like, whether or not, you know, like Bill Kusta said earlier, if you like the Seeker mold, if you like the classic Seeker mold and it floats your boat, then by all means, buy the crap out of them because that's what you like. If that's all your collection is, I've known people, known Transformer collectors that all they collected were Optimus Primes. That's all they collected. Tons and tons. Who was it? TFW 2005. Was it Knapp Jr.? I believe a number of years back in San Galvatron was, that collected. That's all he collected were Primes.
No, it was, what was his name? Because he ended up selling them all and getting out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. He actually bought a house or something, but he had lucky draws and everything.
Oh, what was his name?
I can't remember.
I'll remember it as soon as we go off air.
Yeah.
That's how it always works.
But, you know, but yeah, we had, I mean, if Prime is the only character that you like, you know, buy Classics Prime, buy Shattered Glass Prime, buy, you know, any other Prime. Buy what you like. And, you know, if it's a repaint, if it's, you know, if you buy more repaints, then it helps fund new molds. Mm-hmm. You know, I have no qualms with buying repaints as long as, you know, my rule of thumb basically is, since I'm primarily a G1er and I go by Generation 1 standards, you know, if it was a repaint but a actual character in the show, then I want it. And then the other criterion is if it's cool and it looks good and it appeals to me in an extreme way, I really, really want it, I'll get it. But if it's something just a repaint, just for a repaint, I'll pass on it. You know, you don't have to buy everything. Ironhide Classic, or I'm sorry, Combiner Wars Ironhide is an example. It's a great mold. It looks okay for, you know, for if it weren't Ironhide, it just doesn't work for me. So I'm passing on it. Mm-hmm. You know, so, well, I think that'll wrap us up this week on TFYLP for episode 171. I want to congratulate again Nathan O'Connor. I've got to share this screenshot. Let me. He just sent me a message here. I'm going to screen share this. This is his reaction. Present to everyone.
Fantastic.
I think I've seen him at BotCon.
That looks like the type of dude that would drive a Motormaster.
but yeah, congratulations to Nathan O'Connor. He is the winner of the Unite With Us giveaway.
Untie.
The Untie With Us, you know. Dyslexics Anonymous. But congratulations to him for winning Unite With Us giveaway.
And thanks to everybody who's watched. We appreciate y'all tuning in every week and watching us. I know you're here just for the Massey attacks, at least when I'm on, so thank you for making me feel wanted.
Oh, apparently he is a listener from down under. So yeah, we had a winner from the other side of the planet. He's a future boy like KXK.
He's
down under. Okay,
He's from the future.
Yeah, so he had a whole day head start on everybody else. That's how he won.
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
Yes, but yeah, it's. Don hit it right on the head. We would not be here without you listeners. The Unite With Us giveaway, if you notice, we didn't really harp on, getting our numbers, if we reach 500 followers or anything like that. We don't really harp on that. We want to build a fan base. We want to provide a show that is entertaining and enjoyable for you fans. I know sometimes we miss the mark. We're not perfect, but we want to provide a good, entertaining, informative show for everyone. And one of the goals of this was to get people to listen to us that had not given us a chance before. And we hope that throughout the Unite With Us giveaway, you will have come to like our show and follow it, subscribe to us, whether it be on YouTube, Twitter, or iTunes. Please subscribe to us. Please rate us. We love you fans. We love hearing from you. Love asking you questions. Love hearing your questions. As you see, tonight's whole episode was about a fan's question. We based tonight's episode on a fan's questions. We focus on the fans. We love hearing from you. We see you coming up to us at the conventions. I know Megamus has told me a number of stories of people coming up to talking to him. The fan that we read the question today talked to Protoman at a convention. I know me personally, I've been to several conventions now in the last year or two, and people come up and tell me how much they love TFYLP, and I love hearing every story, especially the father and son that came up to me last year at TFCon USA in Chicago. I loved hearing that. And please tell us more. Please tell other people about us. We grow through you. We're not affiliated with any major website. We don't pick sides. We're all in this together. Mm-hmm. Just like Paul Eiting said a couple weeks ago, we're all in this together, and I think that's a perfect way to say that. We're collectors of this franchise. We bicker, we fight, but in the end, we're all collectors of Transformers, and that's what we're big fans of here. So thank you, fans.
If anybody's coming to TFCon in just 2 weeks, feel free to go by the Mega Toy Fan booth to say hi to Megamus, or come by the Master Shooter Collectibles booth to say hi to me. Just let us know you're a listener of the show. We'd love to meet our listeners.
Absolutely. Yeah,
and give us feedback. Tell us in person what you love and everything, so that way we can make the show better for you.
Absolutely. We're always looking for new things to grow and expand the show. We don't typically have the same format as a lot of podcasts have. I know sometimes we do cover the news and what we got this week, but very seldomly do we do that. We want to do informational pieces and discussion topics, more of a magazine type thing. And we wouldn't be here if we wouldn't have anything to talk about if fans didn't give us things to talk about. You know, I mean, sometimes, everyone here on the cast knows we talk each week in our private group about what we can talk about this week. And sometimes we're at a loss, you know, because I'm very busy with work right now, and it's very difficult for me to have time to sit down and think, gosh, what are we going to talk about on the podcast this week? I literally got up this morning and I read that question again. And I'm like, you know what? That's a darn good question to ask on the show. We've covered it before. Let's talk about it again. Let's see here. What's some of these here? Jim, you're posting something in the chat here.
I didn't want to cut you off during what you were saying there, but I was actually in a conversation with Nathan O'Connor just now, and I was just posting in the chat his comments. And the last thing he posted, he just said, by the way, IMG went out back as well. Can't believe I sent the clues first, LOL. Oh. Wow.
Well, I mean, even and the fifth clue he had as Trident, it was actually Triton. And the reason for Triton, I thought that would kind of get people to start thinking. Triton is a moon of Neptune.
Yes. And so, Trident is what Triton holds in his hand and is also a delicious chewing gum.
Yes.
Well, wasn't Triton also another version of just Neptune, the god of Neptune? But I think like Neptune was like Greek and he was like Roman or something.
Different theology, but essentially, out of the sea.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you think about the clues, white, gold, which are the two primary colors on God Neptune, deity, God, foreign, he was a foreign release toy, Triton, that is a moon of Neptune, and Seacons. They are a redeco of. So, yeah, I mean, if you put all the clues together, it fits to God Neptune.
Yes.
Congratulations, Nathan O'Connor. Like I said, I'm chatting with you here in the chat. I'll get your address here momentarily. And we'll get it out to you in the next week or so, probably next week, because my weekend and my week up until next Friday is really packed up. But we will get it to you. I've actually got it sitting right over here. So, and I want to thank Captured Prey for providing these toys. Without Captured Prey's input with this and help in this promotion, this would not be possible. So thank you to Captured Prey. Check out CapturedPrey.com. Great new pre-orders just went up today. I know Masterpiece Hot Rod, I believe, is $79, I think,
nice.
For Masterpiece Hot Rod. And the Masterpiece Shockwave just went up for pre-order today, too, with and without coin for both of those. Wow. So check out CapturedPrey.com. And in a related note, check out those Perfect Effect Combiner upgrade kits. They range between $30 and $39, I think, on Captured Prey. I hadn't bought one until I got one a couple weeks ago, and they're flipping awesome. You know, they split together into individual guns for the individual bots. You got Gatling guns, and then you got awesome. You know, the foot pads are a little bit higher, so it adds a little more height to your combiners. So if you want to upgrade to those, it's a great thing. And I'll even offer that to Nathan O'Connor. You know, if you want to tack that on before we ship, just place an order through Capture Prey and give him a note that you want that shipped with this order. And, we'll throw that in, with that. So, guys, want to thank everyone for joining us this week. Congratulations, Nathan O'Connor. We will see you next time on Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. This is Daron Land with Headmaster Don, Jim Black, and Greg Metcalf. We'll see you next time on TFYOP.
How's it going, guys?
Space Bride or the Princess Balls? Discuss.
Transformers, when the battle is through, only the strong will survive. Till no one wins.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.